Welcome to TalentWise, the definitive podcast for CXOs, human resource and learning and development leaders. This show comes to you from thought leaders who talk about human capital development in today's organization. How to engage and empower today's employee to be effective, competitive and relevant. Stay with us for an exciting conversation with our guest and learn how to future-proof your team. I'm your host Shubhanjan, founder of KnowledgeBridge. Our guest today is Rahul Gupta, technologist, venture capitalist, and founder of RT Global Info Solutions, an IT services company, and eVista Ventures, his personal venture investment vehicle.
So the culture has to be that person is restless to reach office so that he starts working and he starts achieving company's objective. When I still remember my first, whenever the company told me you're going to Calcutta, that was my first flight. And I was very excited, came from Chandigarh to Delhi and took my first flight to Calcutta. So I was a youngster, I was excited. Now if somebody tells me go to take a flight, go to Calcutta, is a pain for me. So in a way, I believe that all the senior executives are overhyped and all the junior folks, youngsters and so-called trainees are underhyped. 30 years back, I was being paid X amount of rupees. Okay, though I was not having experience, I was not having whatever, but I was the same person. 30 years later, if I look at, and for any person it is true, the money a company was willing to give increases 50 times, 100 times. So the best value I was giving for 1 rupee was 30 years back, not today. Today, so in a way it is true for all people in all situations. Solution is that we have to give more importance to the youngsters, young talent, give them more responsibility, give them more accountability.
Rahul Gupta is a prolific investor, a seasoned technology professional, and an inspiring leader known for his values, ethics, and unwavering friendship. In his 30 years as a professional, he was part of pioneering venture capital activities in the late 90s, a decade of leading 2 US-based mid-sized software development companies, and early-stage investing with enviable returns in over a dozen companies, including Printland.in, SaaS Focus Consulting, Nivesh.com, and Himalayan Creamery. When he's not working on perfecting his golf, he advises large companies on turnaround strategies and sits on the boards of multiple companies as an independent director. Now, on to this great episode of TalentWise with Rahul Gupta. Rahulji, welcome to TalentWise. Thank you very much for sparing your time. I have known you for many years and I have seen how creatively you have tackled your multiple assignments. I want to request you to tell me a bit about your background and your experience. And in the multiple organizations that you have worked and the scores of investments that you have made in various companies across the world, what do you see are the real challenges with talent, and how do you think people are and how successfully are they tackling the future-proofing of team as a concept?
Many thanks, Mr. Subhanjan. Really thankful to you for giving me this opportunity to talk to people. So first of all, I will give little background about myself and then we will come to your questions. So I will say that I have been blessed and I really thank God that I could get the opportunity of working with many companies in many situations in many different roles and getting a wholesome, holistic experience. Now I will tell you little more details about that. So I will divide my experience into three parts, and I have around 30 years of experience, so maybe more or less you can say first 10, second 10, and last 10 years of experience. So first 10 years was more as a venture capitalist, working for a venture capital firm and investing in new technologies, new ideas. And that was happening late 90s, early 2000, and those were early stages of venture capital, private equity investing in India. To the extent then when I used to tell socially that I'm working for a venture capital firm, everybody used to ask, what is this? And now all of us know what is venture capital, what is startups and all those things. So in that, see, one of the things which one encounters and one learns is that, like, so the whole world is changing and it was changing slowly earlier, now it is changing fast. So I will tell you one parameter. How many companies enter top Fortune 100 companies in a time frame of 10 years is a very interesting metric which I use. So you look at 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, 2010, 2020, and you look at what are the top 100 companies of the world, global companies, and you see. So initially you will see a lot of oil companies and then you will see a lot of telecom, a lot of software, a lot of other companies. Then you will see a lot of, maybe at some stage, so the way the whole industry cycles have been coming, the companies are changing. Now if you look at companies, if you find soft asset companies like Google, what is Google doing? Uber, Airbnb, Amazon, so all these companies which have come, like they were not there, maybe a lot of them were not there 20 years back. So in venture capital, the aspect was like how the whole new idea will come up and how it will transform the whole world, how we will, the way we are living our life, how we will use those products and services. So to correlate the new idea, the new technology, the new way of working with the way the persons will be using that. So that was correlation is very critical, is very important, and that was a huge learning for me the first 10 years. So again, invested in many companies, lot of technology companies, lot of pharma companies, worked with many entrepreneurs, lot of them failed, lot of them succeeded, and learnt a lot. Next 10 years was more like as a hands-on person who is like wanting to create businesses and wanting to run businesses, because as a VC, one sits on the board, one does a lot of strategic thinking, lot of strategic discussion, but really does not kind of dirty one's hand, which is also very critical. Say, so two, three examples. What are most critical when you run a company? You have to do sales. Till the time you have done your sales yourself and multiple times, sat outside the room of your prospect, outside the room of your customer, manage customer escalations, you don't learn what is sales. Second point, cash flow management. Till the time you have a problem, pressure of paying dues or paying tax salaries on time, you don't know what is cash flow management. And all these things you never know if you are only sitting as an investor on the board. So a lot of these things I learned. And the third most important thing, how to create a team and motivate them. See, there is a misnomer in a way, I will say that team building and having a culture where team is motivated, though all of us talk about it and though everybody says it is important, I will still say it is the most understated thing in the whole in success of a company. The importance one should give to a vibrant, energized team, which can make things happen, is huge in terms of ensuring that company succeeds. So again, coming back to my next 10 years, so I was CEO of two software development companies. They were based in US and we were trying to set up development centers in India. So I was the managing director of those companies, did well, grew the companies, set up the multiple centers in India, managed large teams. And again, I could sense that what it takes, I could learn what it takes to create a motivated set of team members who every day morning come to the office and fearlessly they have one mission, one aim to achieve the company goals, company's objectives, and how their own objectives are meshed or are a part of the company's objectives. The last 10 years, again, I shifted gears. I again became an investor. I started kind of investing my own capital and started my own company also in the time frame. So now my role is more like an entrepreneur and more like an investor. I'm investing my own capital. So again, I think the theme remains same. How the technology disruption is happening, how we can position ourselves in this technology disruption. And so very interesting anecdotal, I will tell you one story. So I asked this question, why companies exist? And it is a very simple question. Why companies exist? And a lot of people have different answers. Most of them say companies exist so that they can make money. Some of them will say company exists because shareholders can make money. No, very clear no. Why companies exist? Companies exist so that they can make human life better. If you look at any company and all the companies, their objective has to be to make human life better. whatever products they are making, whatever services they are doing, whatever they are doing, ultimately one to another, to another, to another, it has to make a human life better. So now my very interesting the addition to that is, as if we agree that companies exist to make human life better, then my second question is, while our objective is to make human life better, but while if a company is running and a lot of people are working, and large companies, like suppose 100,000 people are working, and 100,000 people are working to make human life better, now while doing that, if they make their life miserable, what is the great idea about it? See, if 100,000 people are working in a company to make life of other people better and their own life is miserable, so what is the great idea about it? So in a way, lot of time, because of this growth, because of rat race, because of listing, because of quarterly performance, and you will hear this word corporate culture, corporate rivalry, corporate politics, corporate burnout, and actually this is real. If you people are on the road, people are traveling mindlessly, okay, and ultimately they have made their life miserable while their company's objective, and most of the times people don't think like that, but maybe when they introspect, they will realize that yes, company's objective has to make other people's life better. So again, what is the, in a way, what is my thinking about it? So I think ultimately there is a culture issue, ultimately there is an issue of clarity, ultimately there is an issue of how to create a motivated team which comes in the morning without any other thought in their mind. They can start working towards achieving company's objectives. Now you tell me, Mr. Subhanjan, you are also seeing a lot of companies. Look around, do a survey, talk to 10 of your corporate executives, very senior people, talk to them. They go to the morning, what is the first thing that is there in their mind? You will realize lot of politics, lot of unhappiness, lot of issues. So very few people you will realize who are fresh and who are wanting to go to the office and who wants to achieve a lot of things and who are waiting to reach office. So the culture has to be that person is restless to reach office so that he starts working and he starts achieving company's objective. Now saying is very, like it is easy, saying is easy, to do it is very difficult. For example, one of the things which, two, three things, now again, I think all of us can say what needs to be done. It's very easy to say what needs to be done. How to do it is more important. So how to do it? Two, three things. First thing is, you have to encourage youngsters. So my philosophy has been that I always give more weightage and more importance to the young talent. So in a way, I believe that, again, I'm making another important statement, all the senior executives are overhyped and all the junior folks, youngsters and so-called trainees are underhyped. So I don't understand, like suppose, maybe I will tell you, as a person, I am the same person. 30 years back, I was being paid X amount of rupees. Okay, though I was not having experience, I was not having whatever, but I was the same person. 30 years later, if I look at, and for any person it is true, the money a company was willing to give increases 50 times, 100 times. So the best value I was giving for 1 rupee was 30 years back, not today. Today, so in a way it is true for all people in all situations. So the response or the solution is that we have to give more importance to the youngsters, young talent, give them more responsibility, give them more accountability. And like, for example, I again give this another example, that whenever the company told me you are going to Calcutta, that was my first flight, and I was very excited, came from Chandigarh to Delhi and took my first flight to Calcutta. I mean, so I was a youngster, I was excited. Now if somebody tells me go to Calcutta, is a pain for me. So same way, when you encourage a youngster, give him any work, he's excited, because he is like doing it for the first time, he wants to achieve a lot of things, and he has no baggage, and he's not looking at any politics. So again, so the point is giving a lot of importance to youngsters, and making them accountable, giving them more responsibility is one solution. What is the second solution? I think the second solution is that, see, the culture is very important, and culture starts from top. And how to create a culture of transparency and trust? Okay, we can write books and books about it, but the person who is running the company, who is the decision maker, has to first show that there is a transparency in the organization, and he is transparent himself or herself, and he trusts his team. So these are two very important points, and I have not said them randomly. Transparency and trust. So that is again very important and very simple. We can go back 1,000 years back in the history, and we can find these points. But still, it is easier said than done. As we are moving with a lot of new science and technology, I think these things again are not given enough importance. So if I'm running a company, and if I'm a founder of a company, and if I'm not transparent, I can't expect any transparency from anybody. Same way, if I don't trust my people or don't trust the team, and I don't create an environment of trust, nobody will trust me, and no people will not trust each other. So this also, if there is a culture of trust and transparency, this removes lot of glitter, lot of politics, lot of heaviness from the organization, and people can focus on their work. Now again, it is easier said than done. Okay, as a culture, as people, as we become more we in a way we become more developed, so called from a developing world we are moving towards more developed world, I think we are becoming more complicated as human beings. And as we are becoming more complicated as human beings, so called and again, these are words which are well often spoken often, but again, I don't know how much we introspect in, take them internally, think them from our internal internally. So ego, greed, and all these things, and comparison, and rat race, and jealousies, and how to how one can like one-upmanship, these things are becoming more prevalent in as we become more developed, and these things again spoil the organization. So if as a top person I am also trying to play politics, so I'm not creating a transparency, I can't assume, and I should not believe that my whole team will be transparent.
Let's take a short break. When we come back, we will find out from Rahul Gupta how trust, transparency, and human complexities tie into making a team that is relevant in the future.
You are listening to a Show How To audio original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences.
Welcome back. Before the break, Rahul touched upon the issues related to transparency, trust, and our becoming more complex as human beings, and how tackling these impacts the future of the organization. Let's listen to Rahul elaborate on this.
So my question is, these are very, very interesting points, and I think you have touched upon issues that organizations need to really, really reflect upon. So are you transparent? Are you operating in a environment of trust? These are extremely important cultural issues. How do you think it ties into the idea of actually creating a team which will be relevant in the future?
See, if you think about it, it's very interesting, and again I will give one another. So I heard a story, and it was very interesting. I play chess, and my whenever I get a little time. So I heard this, I read a report that a person from a small village in India became an international master. And I was curious, I read the story, and he only learned through YouTube. Very interesting. Learning chess from YouTube, he became an international master. And you can search, and it is a real story. So what does that mean? It means that resources are there all over the, lying around, all kind of resources. What technology has done, it has thrown resources of all kinds around us. Now we have to pick and choose. We have to be focused, we have to be clear, we have to be selective, and we have to have a method towards madness. Okay. And again, it is easier said than done, but again, so the point is, if a person or a team is motivated, if a team does not have the clutter, if a team knows what is the organization's objective, if their individual objectives ties with the organization objective, I think in terms of finding out what needs to be done, how to do it, in today's world of technology is not difficult. Okay, so resources are there, and one all of us can tap those resources, and all of us have the same methodology to tap those resources. But do we have the mindset? Do we have the peace? Do we have the, I will say, passion or mindset to tap those resources, and with what free mind we are tapping those resources, and with what clarity we are tapping those resources, will be the resultant. Okay, if we are tapping those resources with no method to madness, nothing will, no output will come. So again, I am saying, again, these are understated things. So if there is a, if a team of 5 people come in an organization, they are totally synced with the organization goals, they are fresh, they want to do achieve lots, their output on the given day versus a team of other 5 people who are not sure what is happening in the organization, they are not sure whether they will stay in the organization, they are not excited enough, they are not motivated enough. So the team, the output of the first team will be much, much more different than the output of the second team.
So I will differentiate the topic in 2 ways. One is that obviously as an individual, you can do a lot, like this example of chess. My question is more about organization. How does the organizational leadership, which is looking at the team as a composite, so team is a complementary set of capabilities, right? So everybody is not having the same skill sets. As an individual, the challenges are different. How do you stay relevant? How do you stay future proof? But as a team, the challenges are different. From your vantage point, you're looking at multiple companies right now who are building their teams and trying the same thing. How do you see the organization and the leadership challenges vis-a-vis the team?
So I think, again, I will say, what are the different things, or what changes have happened over the last 20 years? So few of the changes. The youngster today is more ambitious. So in a way, we can say the ambition levels have increased. Everybody is more exposed and exposed to the same information. So knowledge, like again, earlier we used to say that if you know something, information used to be knowledge, information used to be a strength or an asset, which is no more there. So in a way, so when you talk of teams, when you talk of any organization, and when you talk, suppose I look at any emerging company. So I will look at that company, and I will say that there will be some leaders who will take the company forward. Okay, and again, very traditionally we know, okay, somebody needs to be good in sales, somebody needs to be good in technology development, and we talk of operations, we talk of all kind of functions which are normal. Now there are some new functions which have got added, okay, very interestingly, which is rightly so. And the other thing is, the boundaries of functions have got, in a way, there are no boundaries now. Okay, if somebody says I'm a sales head and I'm not bothered about finance, and I'm a finance head, I'm not bothered about operations. So that phenomena of silos has gone away. Everybody needs to be all-rounder. Everybody needs to understand what is happening. So everybody needs to be connected to the whole organizational situation. Okay, so that is another reality which is right now there. So again, but I will again say that if we have, so again I start with the person, I will say, okay, if there is a requisite, if I have, like, I for a running of organization, I need 10 strong pillars who need to have some one or two strength in one area, but they are like all rounders and they understand the other areas reasonably well. So I will try to find those youngsters. But what again I am saying is, and I will go back to my previous thing, lot of times we do mistake of trying to find experienced senior people from the industry and trying to retrofit them in our organization. My experience shows that is maybe work, that can work well, but maybe what I have done and I have seen success, and all models are fine, but it is a question of what model you adopt, is finding out little young talent within the organization and then giving them experience and taking them to next level so that they take the responsibility of those pillars which you are trying to create in an organization. So that is a little. So I will tell you what another different story. So I give a lot of importance to this word called rate of change. So and this comes from a experience which I had in the life. So I heard one psychiatrist mentioning this story that husband and wife came to him, and it was a love story. They used to date, and 20 years back they got married, and now they found that they are not fit for each other, and they are not getting along with each other. So he did a lot of analysis, and he told them that what happened is 20 years back you were at the same level in terms of your thinking, your mindset, your now rate of change of one person has been X and rate of change of second person has been 3X. So today, after 20 years, you are now different people, or you are different people and not matching with each other, because one person's rate of change was 3 times the other person's rate of change. So in today's organization, I will look at, after looking at a person and looking at his basic fundamental criteria of integrity, of excitement, of energy, of basic education. Okay, the next thing I will look at it, how much hunger he has so that his rate of change is maintained. So this is a very critical aspect. So again, these are basic aspects, and once that is there, then it is a question of ensuring that they become long-term players in the organization, and how do you groom them, how do you train them. So for example, in my company, and it is very interesting, and it is a real story, it is not a story, it is a real thing. Suppose I have a senior management team of 7-8 people. I don't think so, and some of them are working with me for last 19 years, 15 years. I don't think so ever I think that they will leave, or I don't think so they ever think that they will leave. So that kind of, and all of them were very youngsters, were positioned at a different level because they have grown with the organization, and they are, and so they are a part of the family. But again, I am differentiating it with like the old style of organization where they will remain at the same. So a person who will join in sales will retire at a sales head. Now here there is a lot of rotation, lot of learning, lot of growth, and actually two of those people have started their own companies where I am an investor. So what I am saying is I enable them to become entrepreneurs. So it is my duty to ensure that their rate of growth is maintained, and what I expect from them is that they will totally gel with the organization and try to achieve organizational. So organizational goals are more important for them versus their own goals.
Rahulji, this is great. Before we close, one last question. If I want you to look 5 years into the future, what big changes do you see in the relationship between organizations and employees, if you look 5 years into the horizon?
Interesting question, and no answers, because it is again a crystal ball gazing, and we never know how the future will evolve. I think one important thing which is going to happen, and again, and this is little contrary to what I have been saying till now. So, see, lot of things are becoming more objective and more output based. So, in a way, so again, if you look at any person, you evaluate the input and you evaluate the output. How much a person is giving input or providing input, or what is his input to the organization, and what is the output for the organization, an organization is getting from the person. So I think as we evolve, as boundaries are becoming irrelevant, countries are becoming irrelevant, okay, there may be more collaborative thing, people will not come to the offices, they will work from anywhere in the any place. So it is like more collaborative environment and totally output based. So organization will say, okay, these are the 10 things I am expecting, okay, and a person in a way needs to deliver those 10 things from where, whatever time, howsoever, it does not matter. So in a way the collaboration will be more important there. Now the how people collaborate will be different than today. Today we sit in meetings, discuss a lot, waste a lot of time constructively, we have a lot of human emotion. Okay, so the emotion element will reduce, that is my feeling. Whether it is good or bad, I can't comment, and it has already reduced to quite an extent, but it will reduce further. Okay, in terms of working, so people will more work towards output, towards achieving certain objectives, emotions will be less, but I will still say the basic elements, the basic ingredients of transparency, truthfulness, energy, rate of change will be relevant. how does one create or inculcate those basic things into the technology or into a process is important.
TalentWise is brought to you by KnowledgeBridge. We produce customized and multilingual visual training content. We have worked on complex processes, products, and skills development for large blue chip brands such as Tata Motors, Mahindra First Choice, HomeLane, Epson, Toyota, Citibank, and Consul NeoWatt, serving diverse industries. Talk to us for your next custom content requirement and be pleasantly surprised. Call us on 99021-631-32.
Rahulji, thank you very much. I really enjoyed talking to you after a long time, and I am sure we'll come back and talk to you again.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tumanjan. Absolutely wonderful for me to share my thoughts, and these are random thoughts, and again, all of us can say whatever, but the reality will be whatever will happen in next 5 years, and let's wait and watch. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today on TalentWise. We hope we helped you focus on some actionable ideas today. It was certainly enlightening for us. We hope to see you again on our next episode. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts from, and give us a rating while you're at it. Thank you in advance. This Show How To Original podcast is produced for KnowledgeBridge, the multilingual visual training platform and custom training content creators by Show How To Audio. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time.